Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Take a Deep Breath podcast. My name is Mike Mayer. I'm going to be a breathwork coach and host. And today I've got a really special episode. I get to bring on one of my friends, Lindsay Trubia, who is running a company called Peak Flow. And we're going to have a really wonderful conversation, which I can't wait to share with you, all about the power of breath. Just let me rewind a little bit about Lindsay. Lindsay and I met and became friends at a breathing retreat this year in Costa Rica in May. And this breathing retreat was a very special one because the author of Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art, the author James Nestor, was running this retreat. It was his first breathing retreat. I was very lucky to get a place on that. I think it was about 25 of us. And that in itself was a wonderful experience. And you'll hear some of that in this conversation. I'm going to do a whole other podcast about that soon. But on the very first night, and the very first meal, I got to sit next to Lindsay, start talking about Oxygen Advantage, Buteyko, and breathwork. And I was like, oh, this person knows her onions. This person's very, very knowledgeable about breathing. And so then over that week, we got to become friends and talk and share ideas. And she's doing some incredible things with Peak Flow over in the US. And I highly encourage you to check out her website and see what's going on. I've been on her podcast. I'll link to that down below. So I was very privileged to be invited onto hers. And I'm looking forward to sharing this podcast with you. Lindsay, like always, with all these guests, has got a really powerful, impactful backstory about what led her to conscious breathing. Lindsay was a professional soccer player in the US for many years. So she's a great athlete. And some of the things I absolutely love about this person is her ability to kind of connect, and she's a wonderful yoga instructor and she's a wonderful breathwork facilitator, and so you can't go wrong connecting with her. So all the details are down below, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. And a quick hello, so hopefully some of the other people that attended the retreat in Costa Rica are going to watch or listen to this. So hello to all of you. I miss you all dearly. My wonderful breath friends from Costa Rica. We need to figure out a way of reconnecting and doing another one of those retreats ourselves, maybe in the future. And to everybody listening and watching, I will do a whole episode about that because there was so much that went on in that retreat. So many things we learned from James, lovely breathing techniques, did some surfing. There's a whole other story there. So I'm just going to tease you with that and we'll come back to that in a future episode. Just a couple of quick bits before we get stuck into the breathcast. Number one, my website is finally done at takeadeepbreath.co.uk. Don't think we need to say that anymore, do we, since 2003. But on takeadeepbreath.co.uk, it's all set up now. So you can find ways to work with me on there. So I am offering one-to-one coaching for Q4, quarter four, October, November, and maybe a bit of December. So if you're interested in working on your breath-related goals, either maybe it's physical, mental, or spiritual, then you can get in contact with me. You can book a free 30-minute consultation. It's all automated on my website. I'm very happy with it. And you can book in a free consultation, 30 minutes. We'll have a chat and see if it's right for you. Work out what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve. You know, there's many benefits to breath work. You're already here listening to this. You probably know most of them, but just a couple for you right now. It can help reduce stress, reduce anxiety. It can help improve blood pressure. It can help you get a better night's sleep. And the knock-on effects of good sleep are just ridiculous. So when you think about bad sleep, you think about being irritable, overeating, mortality rates shoot up. You know, I think I heard recently about testosterone in a poor night's sleep. It can lead to having the testosterone somebody 10 years older than you. So we work on sleep through breathing, stress management, physical improvements. You know, if you're an athlete or you're trying to be better, I've worked with cyclists and all sorts, and we look at different ways that we can use the breath to get, you know, you functionally better, more efficient, and stronger and fitter. So many benefits physically, mentally, spiritually. If you're interested in just having a chat about it, see if it's right for you, the link is down below, takeadeepbreath.co.uk. My online functional breathwork course is out there. So maybe you don't want to coach right now, maybe you want to just work and learn in your own time. I spent months and months putting that together, interviewing all the top breathing experts that I could find that you've probably seen in this list, and compiling for you the best of the best of the best bits when it comes to how should I breathe, why should I breathe this way, what's the purpose of it. And I go into all that detail, animations and quizzes and bits and bobs and free breathing exercises, or LinkedIn. So that's my functional breathing essentials course. And finally, the exciting stuff, the really exciting stuff. I am a master instructor for the Oxygen Advantage. Oxygen Advantage is, you know, very safe, very trusted breathing technique, breathing school, I guess you could say, run by Patrick McEwen. I was lucky enough to be in Ireland a couple of months ago. Time's going crazy. Essentially, I can help people now become breathwork instructors. It changed my life when I did Patrick's course, understanding the deep levels of the science and then getting to work with people one-on-one and helping them with the goals like I just mentioned before. So maybe you've already done some breath work, maybe you're looking for a career change, maybe you're a yoga instructor or PT, or maybe you're already a breath instructor, and you are looking to add more breath strings to your bow. Well, if any of that's true, again, book in a free consultation with me. Let's have a chat over Zoom. We can work one-on-one and you can become certified on Zoom. And if any of you are in the UK, I will be hosting probably a 3 or 4 day event next March, April time, where we're going to get a group of people together that want to become breathwork instructors. And we'll add some additional bits. There'll be a nice hotel. We can eat together and maybe go out into nature together. So if you're worldwide or you want to do it on Zoom with me one-on-one, we can start that pretty much straight away. And we've got some upcoming dates. Again, everything is on my website, takeadeepbreath.co.uk. Anyway, enough yabbering from me. Really looking forward to introducing Lindsay to you. She's on a mission to really radically improve the health services in the US, and a wonderful person. So let's get stuck into the breathcast. Thank you so much. Cheers. Okay, Lindsay, we have hit record, my friend. How the hell are you doing today?
Oh man, peaks and valleys, but today's good.
Very good.
How about yourself?
I'm good. I was just before we hit record, I was just saying to Lindsay, you know, I'm sat in my dank room. It's very humid in this room as well. It gets the sun all day, and I've got this black sheet, so no light, so I can get the studio right. And then Lindsay just shows me her beautiful garden and the ocean there. So you've made me. I'm gonna have to reevaluate everything after this conversation, my friend. Probably we should tell people how we know each other. I don't know if you wanna share that.
Yeah, so I think we both are a huge fan of James Nestor and his book and writings. And yep. He had his first breath retreat in Costa Rica a couple months ago now. Wow. Yeah. And Mike and I, you know, we met organically through being a participant of the retreat and quickly found out that we were both breath lovers and teachers ourselves. And one thing led to another. And here we are.
Yeah. Here we are. And I remember actually sitting with you on the first night at the dinner table. You were to my left. And the only thing I think you mentioned to me at that time was that you were a Pateco or Oxygen Advantage instructor, and we both knew Patrick. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But little did I know all the other things that you then revealed to me later, which just was fascinating. So do you want to just maybe share with people a bit about what you do and your company and that sort of thing? So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, of course. And I'll add too, like going to the breath retreat, my intention was to breathe myself and to reheal myself, because I think as teachers sometimes we're all about giving this gift, and sometimes I have to pinch myself and say, hey, do what you love and do what you teach. So with that, Peak Flow is the breath organization that I lead with our team. It is a startup here in Encinitas, California, and our vision is to create a breath ecosystem to where we can help really any individual that comes to us, whether they're a COPD, asthma patient, or a professional athlete looking to improve peak performance, or even professional wellness individuals, C-suite executives, et cetera, who are looking to not only perform and work, but also find the passion that drives the work that they do. And sometimes they have to switch careers. So with that, we have a live breathwork program where students and teams breathe with us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. Ironically, accountability happens to be one of the major barriers that we see with breathing, despite doing it about 60,000 times a day. And so really passionate about helping teams and individuals reach peak performance and also address the topic of mental health organically.
Very cool. And I'm sure we'll get into the how and why and what of peak flow, but just if people are just already listening and they're interested, the link's down below, so you can go and have a look at the website and all that good stuff. But yeah, I think we'll just bounce around a little bit today, if that's all right, Lindsay. I'm just excited to just have a conversation with my friend again now. Yeah. What I really liked about that retreat was just connecting with like a lot of breath like-minded people, because for me, my breath journey really kicked in during the pandemic. And so I've been sat in these four walls for 2 years talking on screens, and then for all of a sudden it's, oh my god, there's actually people here that I can touch, and they're actually here and we're breathing together. And so it was really powerful for me. What was some of your highlights from James's retreat? I'm keen to know, actually.
Yeah, wow. Getting my diaphragm sore again was one of the highlights.
Yeah, me too. Thanks to you, actually. Yeah.
Yes. And like you said, meeting like-minded people in a beautiful place in the world, and just a topic that's near and dear to my heart, that almost took my breath away in my near-death experience, and coming back into this topic that can be so transformative and so organic and pure if we know how to use it. And I think when you have people who appreciate that and come together in a space, not only to practice together, but to really get to know people. And I just got goosebumps. I always follow my goosebumps. Know people on a deeper level. Breath allows you to just dive right in. So I would say the human connection was the highlight.
Yeah, I don't think I can top that. I think you're right. I took a picture of me on the plane on the way there and on the way back. And, you know, typically you get that, oh, I'm going back home kind of feeling. But actually, everyone commented that I looked so much more refreshed and alive, which makes sense. I've been in the sunshine for 2 weeks, but there was no misery on that plane. There was just like pure joy and relaxation. So, and there was definitely a vibe I was picking up from Costa Rica and the sunshine and the people and the food and all that beautiful
Pura vida.
Stuff. Beautiful, beautiful thing. And you know, Lindsay also taught me to get on the surfboard. There's a moment I'm just panicking in the middle of the water trying to get on there. And you're like, just breathe, just relax. And that was really helpful. And actually, when you weren't there, I might have said this to you afterwards, I would just hear your voice in my head going, just breathe, take a moment. And because there's all this panic, the wave's on its way. I have to get on the board before the wave gets there. And just breathe, just relax. You've got plenty of time. And so, yeah, thank you for that. That's one of those snapshots that you'll remember years from now, is you just so calm and me just shaking, trying to get on this surfboard. It's good fun.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, the whole surfing component, especially with people who aren't used to surfing and have a fear of these waves, and that's another external stressor, right? And how does the breath show up in those experiences to help you calm the nervous system? And I'm diving deep into free diving, and I'm having these other breakthroughs, like 90 feet down, like, what can you soften? Because the moment your mind goes, your body follows. So there's different layers, an onion that you can peel back with this breath, and surfing being one of the ones that I love to teach.
Very cool. Now, you're in the US, and so I don't really know feet, but what is 90 feet in meters? Do you have any idea?
Oh, geez.
I have to look that up.
I'm really proud of converting.
Same.
I'd have to Google it.
I'll have to do that. I think it's 30 meters. I think it's 3 feet to a meter.
Yeah, I think it's about 30.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've got my, I don't know if I mentioned this on the retreat, I'm going on my first free diving retreat in 2 weeks' time in Corfu.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I don't think I'll be going anywhere near those depths, but it will be the first time. I don't know. There can't be much light at that depth, can there? It must be pitch black, surely.
Depends on where you are.
Okay.
In California, it can be. In Hawaii, where I used to live, no. I want to go back there now really badly and experience. But
exciting, but also terrifying, the free diving. Let's. You mentioned your near-death experience. Would you mind sharing that with the audience? Because I think they would love to hear what kind of occurred and what that led you to where you've become.
Yeah, so prior to moving to Hawaii, I was a Division I soccer player, athlete, dream as a little girl, play collegiate, maybe professional, check that box, graduated, my knees were, you know, kind of half alive. And I said, well, maybe we should transition into something else. So the passion bucket was completely empty. Joined the corporate world. Luckily, they moved me to Hawaii. Spent almost all of my 20s in Hawaii. About 2017, I quickly attached on to my new passion, which was surfing. So surfing in my experience, just allows you to really hone into the present moment where nothing else matters. You're so in tune with nature, and the earth is so powerful, especially with her waves and the energy that they hold. So I quickly became attached to surfing, getting bigger and bigger waves. And there was one day in the winter where the waves on the North Shore are very big. And the athlete, the competitor in me was like, I want to, go bigger and have that bigger thrill. So paddling out, and there was just one wave that just like drew my attention, and it gave me, a little bit of anxiety. And I said, no, you got this. And I went to go paddle, stood up, and then just started to warp up so much faster than I thought. And as I went through the barrel, there's that little tunnel that you think you can get out, and the wave just sucked me up and dropped me down to the bottom. And when you're in Hawaii, these waves are so thick and they hold you down. And I started to have this slight panic come over me, and all the surfers out there can appreciate, you go to your happy place when you fall in these waves and you're getting thrown around, because otherwise your breath can escape you really fast, just like free diving. And so as I was coming up, ready to, intuitively take that breath, another wave came down and pushed me back down to the bottom. And in that, the panic set in enough to where I started thinking of my brother and both my brothers and my mom and dad. And I literally was in this moment of surrendering and, kind of like, okay, this is the space for me to fly. And as I surrendered, like, I don't know how it happened. I almost cry every time I talk about it. But I came back up, and I just ironically had this massive breath that came back into my body. I swam back to the beach and had this huge emotional breakthrough, I would call it. Growing up, we didn't have much of emotions to be shared, or we had them, we just didn't share them. Growing up as kids, it was always be strong. So anyways, that is what started my breath journey, because my instinct was, well, I need to get back out and do what I love, but I'm traumatized. So I started doing free diving and big wave surf training. And little did I know that like breath was the main foundation of all of those trainings. And as I started doing these trainings with the intention of getting my breath hold longer, there was so much more that happened to me emotionally, spiritually, physically, that I truly can't explain. Enough so that I wanted to start teaching it so I could give back to people what I was experiencing. So that's the long story,
I don't
but
think it's
very
long
hopefully
though.
fruitful.
I've heard that
Yeah.
before, and still it's like, it's very interesting and also scary, because I've only experienced a little bit, a tiny, tiny fraction of surfing. Not, I don't even know if you could call it surfing. But yeah, I can imagine, because the board nearly hit me a couple of times, and so there was a few moments of panic. But to be where you were is just it's absolutely bonkers. And how long was it before you got back on the surfboard?
I would say like 3 months or so.
Okay, yeah. And what was that first time like? Was it pretty scary?
Well, I definitely started smaller. Like I still to this day don't go as big as that
Okay.
wave. But I was gentle with myself, and
Yeah.
it was a nice ego blast. It's like, stop going for the biggest thing. Stop competing. Like, stop watching all your metrics. Like, just be present. And that's what the ocean has taught me, and the breath has taught me.
Yeah, I have a less dramatic version of that story, which was after I did the Wim Hof in 2016. That was my first mountain I ever climbed. It was in Śnieżka in South Poland, where they did the Vice documentary. And so that mountain's got a chain, and you can hold it basically all the way. It's such an easy mountain to climb, but the weather's quite treacherous if you're unlucky. Anyway, we get back to the UK, and I'm thinking, I'm a mountaineer now. I'm basically a guy that can go on Everest. And so me and my friend decided we were going to do the Three Peaks in the UK. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's the tallest
I
mountain
have.
in England, Scotland, and Wales. And so with zero preparation, about 2 weeks after Wim Hof, we set off to Wales to do the first one on Boxing Day, 24th of December. And we started to climb that mountain at 4 p.m. So it's just getting dark. And we got lost, like properly lost. And we were just in our pants as well. We're in underwear. So we're Wim Hofers now. So stupid. And we lost the path. And there was a couple of points we were just on all fours climbing, completely lost. No phone to ring anybody, no food. Clothes are in our bag. We're shivering. And a couple of times we
Oh
saw
my
like
gosh.
a real edge you could fall off. And there was a few times like, yeah, I'm going to die up here. That could be it. And we got to the very top, and luckily we found some railway tracks and we just followed them back down and we were fine. But we went through this journey of, we've really messed up here because there's nobody else on this mountain. We're so stupid. But that was kind of on the way back down. My reflection was, oh, do you know what was there the whole time? My breathing, my breath work, it kept me calm. And even though I was in my pants and I was shivering and scared, because we'd just come back from Wim Hof, there was just this kind of refresh of the breath. So that's my stupid version of it. And in terms of now, I respect the hell out of all mountains because I really thought England is easy compared to Poland. But there you go, that's my my version. But I never lost my breath in it. And obviously you were under the water without your breath. And one thing I've found recently, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I've been playing a lot with breath holds because I've got this free diving thing coming up. I'm going to be doing the master instructor training with Patrick in Ireland in a couple of weeks as well, which is very exciting. So I'm like, I need to get my breath holds into it. Yeah. Oh, thank you. So I've been playing with that a lot. But that feeling of holding the breath is probably one of the most uncomfortable feelings that I put myself through. I do a lot of sauna, do weightlifting and bits and bobs. But this feeling, this urgency and this panic is so strong. And I'm trying to calm myself down as I'm going through it. And I noticed the days that I do the breath holds, everything else is easier. So if I do really strong breath holds and then go to the sauna, I can do longer in the sauna and I can handle the uncomfortableness. But the breath holds themselves are quite torturous, is the wrong word. But I heard one of my colleagues the other day saying that when he does the breath holds, he has to go through the kind of shaking and the panic and he comes out the other side. And I've not been able to do that. So can you share your thoughts on holding your breath? Because I'd love to hear from you what you do there.
Yeah. You know, and it gets even more heightened in the water. So I have a kind of a new experience to share just even in the past month. Like for me, especially when you're free diving, and I think when you're training for free diving, you kind of hold beyond what you would on land. So there's this beautiful sea and land dynamic here, like a yin and yang. And I've taken what I've learned from the sea onto land, and I'll share what that is. So in the pool, you do your static, or in as you're going down, you feel that panic, and you actually have the diaphragm do these beautiful contractions to where your body looks like you're just flowing, and essentially the ripple effect from the diaphragm movement. And that naturally, you know, triggers, you know, the chemoreceptors to say, okay, it's time to breathe. It's time to let the CO2 out of the body. And to be able to witness that and then soften, where in the body can you soften? Where is the tightness? So even swallowing, we don't want to swallow when we're free diving. It's like, okay, surrender into that. As a yoga teacher, when you're doing restorative yoga teacher, if you have a really tight hamstring as you're doing a longer pose, can you breathe into it? Can you soften? And over time, you'll notice that tightness actually goes away. So it's constantly for me, where can I soften and going back to the body? Because if you stay up here, that's where this just reacts. So how can you soften would be the biggest takeaway that I've had.
How do you soften? Yeah. What are you thinking in those moments? Are you thinking of anything? Are you present? What's going on mentally at that time when you're doing the breath holds?
It varies. Like if I'm moving through something personally, or if I'm sick, my breath holds will be shorter. Also, I know if I've meditated or have been doing breath work on the regular, I notice it's easier. But for me, it's sometimes when the breath hold does come, I can have these subconscious thoughts come through about what is causing me anxious or anxiety outside of the hold, which is fascinating. And I think in my experience, that's a sign of how can I soften through that. And for me, everything always goes back to the wave because, you know, there's an analogy of like paddling out, you're on the wave, you're at your peak, you're in this flow, but then there's like the hold down. And nowhere do you want to control the wave or try to control the wave. And I think same thing in life. It's like, how can you surrender and just allow your body to flow and be at ease? And I think that has been the biggest learnings that I've ever had through my breath holds.
Oh, that's really interesting. Where do you put yourself? If you obviously wear many hats. There's the yoga, and there's the breath instructor, and there's the corporation that you're building.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself on the yoga breathwork spectrum? Or is that the wrong question? Are those two things completely connected?
Ooh, very connected. Very connected. I did my yoga teacher training first, and then also my travels to India at the Art of Living, doing the Sudarshan Kriya. And if anyone's not familiar with that organization, highly recommend it. I did an 8-day retreat, and also knowing the foundations of yoga, like going back centuries, yoga was just sitting and doing breath work. Like it was no vinyasa, no movement, no sweat, unless you were, of course, you're in a heated space doing that. But so for me, I actually also spend time, wear many hats, teaching yoga teachers how to optimally cue the breath and biomechanics and respiratory fitness during a yoga practice. So for me, I think breath comes first in yoga. Is breath and yoga are the same, but the yoga that we've created with this vinyasa is like a nice layer. And I think movement prior to breathing, though, allows for better breath, better movement, better peak flow throughout the body.
Yeah. That's interesting. You just mentioned is it Sudarshan Kriya? How do I say that?
Sudarshan.
Been saying it wrong the whole time. Sudarshan. So that's an that's an organization, is it then? Sudarshan Kriya.
So Sudarshan Kriya is a form of Kriya created by Gurudev, who is the lead of the Art of Living. So they've since taken that name and labeled it Sky Breath. You may have seen that before, but it is like a 30 to 40 minute practice of just breath work, but always coming after yoga movement. And then the meditation at the end is at least 30 minutes. So the whole practice can take you about an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah. Cool. And so you spent time with Gurudev, is that right?
I did.
What was that like?
Whew. it's interesting. Definitely grew up in a very Catholic household. And just as a little girl, I remember just being like, this isn't, you know, and I think everyone has their own spiritual beliefs. Everyone has their own religion, which is so beautiful. But it just wasn't for me. And I didn't know what was for me until I started getting more in tune with nature and seeing this human who, Gurudev, who had created this ashram where you go and you pay for a retreat and you literally on the paper, you say, I want this X amount of dollars to go to rerouting rivers or to a kid's school system. So it's like this beautiful giving flow there. And everyone who's there is volunteering. All of the food comes from the land. All of the medicine is from the herbs. And it's almost like this form of life where you're like, wow, like pinch me. I don't want to leave here. This is how life should be.
Yeah.
And for someone to be able to run I don't even want to call it an operation, but a vision like that, and then to see it, make eye to eye contact with him, and just it was like a lightning bolt literally like zoom, down my body. And when I made eye contact with him, and people can say that's woo woo, that's fine, but it was my experience and it still is. And whenever I'm in a really hard moment, I just visualize him and I surrender.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And what led you to going to do that? Because I don't know anybody else that's gone to spend time with him. Tell me through what happened there.
It's what I call universal drops or signs. So a couple things happened. I was in the corporate world, hustling, bustling, and just wasn't happy. I was drinking a lot. And every morning I'd wake up. And I would, at this point, too, I was surfing. I was, you know, hiking every day. But I just felt a little bit empty inside. And I started listening to Dave Asprey's podcast. And ever since then, I have a lot other favorites as well. But in that moment, there was a woman who was doing an interview, and I'm blanking on her name, but she was a federal agent here in America, and she stumbled into a breathwork class, which she didn't know was a breathwork class. She thought it was something else. And she had stumbled into, at the time, Gurudev was in California, and she sat down. She's like, what am I in right now? And she was just like, I'm just going to go with it. And it happened to be one of his short 2-hour breath experiences. And she just started talking about all of these amazing transitions that she felt internally, how she didn't enjoy the work she was doing, and how she felt so free, kind of almost how James Nestor describes in the beginning of his book, like sweat coming down, like what the heck just happened. And I just got goosebumps again. And listening to her, I was like, wow, like that's interesting. So I got her book, I read it, and a lot of it was based on Gurudev and the Art of Living. I said, oh, you know when you have that feeling, oh, one day I want to do that. And it's kind of like that buzz, and it comes back and it comes back. And then, long story short, I had a corporate on-site with my client, and someone from our testing team who was happened to be Indian connected with him really well, met him for the first time. I was like, hey, I want to go to India. Like, where should I go? He's like, you have got to go to the Art of Living. And I was like, okay, that's enough. I didn't do much research at all. And I just followed my gut instinct and I booked it. And even my partner was like, why are we going here again? You know, we were in this beautiful Rishikesh area and we're going to the city. And I was like, I don't know. Gum or not, I'm just following my gut, and it happened to be the most transformative experience for both of us.
When was this roughly? What, give me the year approximately. Was it quite recently?
Just before COVID. Okay. Actually, at the time, there was a couple cases in China and then like one or two in India. And I remember sitting at the coffee shop being like, should I go? And I was like, I just have to. So it was 2013, not 2000, I don't even know, like my years go away, about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And if people wanted to practice something like that, can they do it online locally, or do you have to go to India, or are there different camps around the place you can go to do that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so the Art of Living, they have, I mean, if you can go to Bangalore, India and get the real experience, that would be my number one. You're probably, they called me the international girl. I was the only white girl and I loved it. open arms. And a lot of that retreat, I will add, was in silence. So by the end of the retreat, you just feel so connected with all of these humans without even saying a word, which is so fascinating. So I highly recommend, if you're able and have the means to do, go to India. But they also have little hubs around the world, actually. And there's one here in San Diego. There's one in North Carolina, one of their bigger ones. So if you just type in theartofliving.com, and I swear I don't get promoted or anything by them, it's a true authentic experience. You can see, and they also have sky breathing sessions online that people can access anywhere.
Very cool. So that's about 2-3 years ago. You're kind of in that space. And so what I really liked when I was talking to you on the retreat as well, Lindsay, was like, you've got a very a really good kind of curriculum or well-rounded breath work for you, because often when I get to interview, very privileged to interview so many different people, you tend to find most of them are down one camp. You know, they're either Wim Hof in or Buteyko in or Pranayama, you know, whatever their kind of niche is. And so I've always felt like, well, it's the right, what's the issue? What are we trying to do here? What's the right breathwork tool for that? And I know people refer to a couple of Dan Brulé as like the Bruce Lee breathwork. And I kind of tried to coin the term the MMA approach to breathwork, but it sounds a bit aggressive, so I need to come up with a better one. But there is this thing around, there's all these different elements, and some are fast and some are slow and some are deep and some are shallow, and mouth and nose and yoga. And so where do you sit? I feel that I've got a good idea of where you sit, but when somebody says breathwork to you, what how would you define that?
Truthfully, you know, and I've had this conversation with our team, it's like the word breath work almost triggers me in a way, because I feel like it almost has this connotation of sitting on a mat, breathing, changing your breath for about 30-40 minutes, do the work, and then you'll feel better. And I sit in the space of a breathing ecosystem. So what that means to me is, you know, you have these different forms or methods that have been branded. And I think when you do these certifications, yes, they're powerful and they're so beautiful, but sometimes it creates this tunnel vision to where you're going to teach this one method, for example, the Wim Hof method. And yet you can have someone who is severe anxiety, panic attack history, or current panic attacks. It's like, you know, and through my experience, I started noticing, it's like, wow, this person needs something completely custom and tailored to them. So I'm in the space of learning as much as I can about breathing, how it impacts the body, the mind, the emotional, spiritual component, and really creating a tailored plan based on that individual's goals, where they're at and where they want to be. And when you have that ecosystem approach, you can create a toolkit for that human to be able to access, hopefully subconsciously, breath patterns that will, and I should say habits, that will allow them to really thrive in life in all areas. So the breath ecosystem is where I sit. And the idea is also to help other practitioners come through that lens, so we're not limiting the space of breath. Because in my mind, I think breath is one of the major missing pillars in healthcare. And just like doctors, you know, they have their specialties, which is great. But if we're going to be bringing breath to the health space and the sports space, et cetera, it's like, how can you have this holistic viewpoint, meet these humans where they're at, and understand physiology to be able to, I don't want to say prescribe, but recommend the best services possible.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, recommend what would be the kind of best things. So this was really interesting. I remember we were on that boat day and we were talking about this.
It was a good day.
It was a very good day, actually. It was one of the highlights of the trip, actually, just being on this boat and all these, what James calls pulmonauts, all of us pulmonauts together, you know, watching the sunset in Costa Rica. Again, another one of those moments you take with you to your grave, I guess. What really inspired me when we were talking was around kind of your mission with the healthcare services. And I've got a very, I don't know if it's a distorted view, but my view of American healthcare is a bit like, I mean, the English one's not brilliant, but the American one seems to be a little bit further ahead than us with some issues.
I can hear it.
I'm trying to be polite, but again, I get most of my stuff secondhand, you know, it's from YouTube. But what are you trying to do there? Because I found that quite cool, what your kind of mission is with those guys and gals.
Yeah, so, you know, in the corporate world and being almost 10 years with CVS Health, and working a lot with doctors, with healthcare systems, with healthcare insurance companies, you know, the conversations at the end of the day really boil down to, we can't afford our healthcare system, the patients can't afford our healthcare system. What can we do to save money? And unfortunately, it has really become a money conversation. And there's this vision and true belief ingrained in these people's bodies that, and I think pharmacology is a beautiful tool that we have at our ability to use, but I think it's overused. And I'm one to say, listen, in 2014, when CVS Health took cigarettes out of our stores, despite being one of the top profit margins for us, that was one of the most powerful moves that I've seen our organization make. What if we could do the same and help heal these patients? And I'm not saying breath is the end all be all, but I do know based on experience, it has helped patients stop getting their asthma events, stop getting their inhalers, like helping sleep apnea patients cure organically. So to me, it's like, I think breath is one of the missing ingredients to where we can bring healthcare costs down. We can allow people to really take control of their health. And also a big component of this is educating doctors. And it's a hard conversation to have because breathing is nowhere in the medical literature or the school systems that doctors go through. And the vision that I have in the health division with Peak Flow, and we've been doing an amazing job, is having these conversations with doctors to the point where they have these experiences where they organically and authentically can have compassion when they're talking to their patients about respiratory training, respiratory preventative therapy, and referring patients into the Peak Flow ecosystem. So that's one of the divisions that is one of the hardest ones to break through, but I think also one of the more powerful. So at the end of the day, it's really creating this referral system for doctors and healthcare systems that believe in breathing. And then also connecting those patients with similar conditions like asthma, COPD. And the idea is to have someone who has healed from asthma with breathing experiences to be able to help that group with those conditions to see the possibility and change.
That's beautiful, man. That's lovely. It's great work. And again, when you told me, I was like, yeah, that's I knew this was going to be a good conversation, and I want to do everything I can to obviously get your kind of mission out there. I was just thinking as well, like, I think you're the first person that I've brought on the podcast, which actually we were friends first before we did the podcast. It's gone the other way a few times. So it's quite, I was just thinking, oh, this is a bit weird, isn't it? Asking you questions, because obviously you wouldn't speak like this in person, but obviously we know there's an audience listening. So what gets you out of bed? What is it that motivates you to do what you do?
You know, helping people. And I think being able to share this gift of breath is exactly what gets me out of bed. And to be able to do it at a massive ripple effect is what gets me out of bed, because, you know, I've hit my practitioner ceiling where unfortunately I have to say no to one-on-ones with people because I just don't have the time. But it's like, how can I have the biggest impact? And it goes back to that wave hold down. Like, I didn't want to leave this earth, you know, playing soccer as my thing. And I want to leave this earth knowing that I did the best that I could to help as many people as possible.
Yeah, oh, that's lovely. That's really nice. And what's next for Peak Flow? Where are you guys going from where you are today? What's the future look like for you all?
Yeah, so we're at an exciting time. We are already partnering with about 6 to 7 clinics and healthcare systems now, and sports teams are well here in the near future, and starting to work with professional athletes is something that's very exciting. We've tapped into the NHL market. As you can imagine, big gentlemen who have limited biomechanics, when they breathe, they look like this. And just to start to see that open up, and football as well, and really getting into the healthcare space and the athletic space. And then also we are starting to work with some key employer groups and getting into big corporations. So I would say starting to crack the egg wide open and the shell wide open for those three organizations, and eventually, you know, having initiatives for children and getting into school systems and, you know, mothers who are pregnant, like, how can you breathe optimally? How can you even during birth? So I want to heal as many people as possible in the startup mentors event. You're going in so many directions, but we're sticking with the three divisions. And when you're trying to help Team Human, I think there's a lot of different niches that you can go in. And the beautiful thing about the breathing world is there's so many great people at what they do, and understanding their niches to refer. In my mind, it's not a competition. And if we have that competitive edge, we're limiting, you know, the impact that we can have on the world.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that breathe, and
yeah,
plenty of people that, you know, could do with a little bit of help and support. So yeah, I know what you mean. There's sometimes, when I speak to some breathwork practitioners, sometimes like a little bit of a wall, but often, you know, once you've had a conversation, it kind of goes. But yeah, I think there's definitely power in us all kind of being together and sharing, because there is so many niches and so much wonderful studies and science and great things coming out at the minute. So it's a very, very exciting time, I think, for breath work. And you just reminded me of something, I think it's in James Nestor's book, which is, I think they said humans have got the prize for being the worst breathers on the planet, you know, in the animal kingdom, which is sadly true. And there's that thing when that curtain gets peeled back and you start to understand mouth versus nose or diaphragm, you know, whatever element it is. And you can almost see through the matrix and go, oh my God, that person's mouth breathing. Look at the way that person's posture is. Da, 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 da. It's sometimes I find hard not to go in there and go, excuse me, can I just tell you a little bit about mouth versus nose? Now, bugger off. Yeah. I'm in the shop. Go away. I'm trying to do shopping. So yeah. What protocols or what things would you give? So we've got people listening and watching this right now. And they want to move forward with their health. What sort of things might you recommend they could start looking into when it comes maybe breath related? Where would you start?
Yeah, well, before anyone joins us, for example, it's always important to have a conversation with them. What's going on in life? Where is their health? But of course, you know, I think it's important to explain the biomechanics of breathing. So when I say that, location of movement, when you're taking a conscious inhale, nasal breathing, of course, if possible, where mainly is your body moving? Is it in the belly? Is it in the ribs? Is it in the chest? And right away, you can already tell so much just by watching someone breathe. So the biomechanics, where do we want to, where are we now and where do we want to be? And then exercises to start to do that. So a great exercise, I know Patrick has the Buteyko belt, but even just having some type of band that you can take around your rib cage and tie it tight, cushiony, not too tight, but literally start to exercise your ribs outward on your inhalations. It's just like we're at the gym lifting or even just working on our triceps. We can't feel a diaphragm because there's not that many nerve endings attached to it, but it is one of our largest muscles. And in order to start to activate it, we need to start training it just like we do every other muscle in our body. Also, the range of motion comes with location of movement. So by range of motion, I mean when you measure the circumference of your rib cage on a full exhalation, note the number of inches that that leads to, and then take a full inhalation, remeasure, and note that number of inches, and then take the difference. So a lot of times it's around half an inch to an inch. And then after working with people for about even 4 weeks, you can get that to at least 4 inches. The goal is to be at 6 or 7. So you saw me demo at the retreat. I've been working on it a long time, but to have that flexibility in the diaphragm and the rib cage and the thoracic cage is so important. And also in the heart space as well. So that is one of the biggest things I would say. Also, if this happens a lot, if you cannot breathe through your nose and you have a deviated septum, or sometimes you just think, oh, it's just easier, you know, I can't breathe through my nose, so I breathe through my mouth. The nose knows. And it's so important to do everything that you can to try to open it up organically. Surgery is the last resort in my mind. So if you are able to try to tape the mouth, myotape, I'm a huge fan of, at night, especially if you want to try it during the day, if you have some fear around taping the mouth at night, that's okay. But if you're still not able to breathe through your nose, using breathe strips or nasal dilators to start to open up those spaces. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So start trying to use it. And then if you can't, talk to a doctor about what it would take to open up the nasal cavity. So those are just some key things. And then of course, as you're exercising and walking, like just trying to keep it through the nose. And those are some great, great foundational steps to take.
Yeah, really, really cool. Thank you. I think, yeah, very, very good information there. And so would you say that does mechanical breathing come first then, in terms of if you have, I don't know, you had two things here, like we're going to talk about nasal breathing and the benefits of that and get your nose working, and we're going to do mechanics. Does mechanics kind of rank a little bit further ahead for you?
I think I actually would argue nasal is a part of mechanics. So I look at it as two layers. So depending on the division that we're talking about, so the biomechanics is the first layer. Like you have to get the biomechanics down. So which is vehicle of breathing, range of motion and location of movement for us. And then when you have those in place, then you can start working on the respiratory training. So for athletes in our sport division, that respiratory training is respiratory fitness. For the health division, it's respiratory therapy. And then the work division is respiratory training. So when you have the mechanics down, then you can really start to work on your breath holding. You can start to add water in and work on your breath holding. So for me, and I apologize, I didn't add the nasal into the biomechanic conversation, but biomechanics first, 100%. It's like learning how to surf on a really small board your first time and taking big waves and just completely failing. You need to build a foundation first.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because there's been a bit of a debate of when you're teaching somebody from the beginning, do you start with nose or mechanics? And there's a bit of a thing about that. So I'm always curious to get other people's takes, because obviously both are quite important. And I also know that when your nose breathing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, because the pipe is smaller and there's a slower amount of air passing, that gives the diaphragm more time to move. Whereas if you use the mouth, this big pipe, you know, you can fill up really quick and the diaphragm hasn't had the time to kind of move into place. So I know there's that kind of piece around that as well. But very interesting. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think the nose like optimizes the biomechanics. I think when we start talking about the second layer of fitness, it's really changing that CO2 balance and starting to get the triggering sensation. And how do you work through that?
Yeah. What does and this is always a loaded question, what's your practice look like? Because I know, like, you know, I get asked that question and it's an evolving practice, you know, there's not a static thing that I do, but what does kind of your current practice look like at the minute? What sort of things you're up to in terms of breathing?
Yeah, so I Miracle Morning is a great book if you haven't read it, and essentially it talks about how to get everything done in your day before 8 a.m. So if you sleep in, you have a breakthrough to be had here. But ideally, 5 a.m., wake up, maybe 5:30. I love to get some movement in before I breathe if my body feels open to it. So that could be yoga. It could be the Tibetan rites if I don't have much time. And then moving into, I love Shavasana Kriya is my usual go-to. If I don't have enough time, I'll do the Wim Hof method. And then meditate. So movement, silence, and then I break out my journal. And I've got obviously an organization startup, as we all know, that's a whole nother world, and then personal. So I'll vision both personal and peak flow. Where do I see the future going, and where do I want to be? And then I'll also journal affirmations. So I think that's kind of intuitive for everyone to understand. And then I have a sauna and an ice bath here at home. Very fortunate for that. So I will go in the heat and read or listen to a podcast. And then I will jump in the ice and start my morning.
Oh, that sounds lovely. And what's the flip of that? What's the nighttime routine look like?
Yeah, so I love yoga nidra. So it's more of like body scanning for breath work. I rarely ever do Wim Hof at night. For me, I find it's a good stimulator. That varies for people. But also utilizing like long, slow, deep breaths in and out through the nose, especially the exhalations, the longer exhalations before I sleep. And adding that on with guided yoga nidra by Gurudev. Shout out to him. Free stuff on YouTube. Love him. He has some great meditations for sleep, for anxiety, and I use him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. And that gets you to sleep, doing that sort of stuff. That helps you. What do you notice if you don't do that? Do you notice a difference if you just try and go to sleep?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then there's non-deep sleep rest, non-sleep deep rest, NSDR, which NSDR, is a form of yoga nidra as well. And that also helps.
Yeah, I was just listening to the Andrew Huberman podcast about that the other day, because I think he's the one that's coined that term, hasn't he? Or at least he's claiming he coined that term. But yeah, very interesting, the NSDR stuff. That's a bit of a, like, hypnosis is kind of in that field as well, isn't it, a little bit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Yeah, cool. All right. In terms of breath work, anything we've not covered, you're very welcome. We can talk about anything you want, anything we've not gone into. Yeah.
One thing that I think is missing in the breath field for us practitioners is the ability to really collaborate as a collective in terms of how can we make a bigger industry impact. And, you know, I feel like these breath trainings, there's more now, there's a ton of breath certifications, but when you get your certifications, what's next? Go create your business, go make your website. And there's so many breath practitioners in my experience that don't have the business knowledge to be able to do that successfully. And if they do, can you really, and we talk about this, be 100% in a field that you love and not do anything else? Like, can you make enough revenue and money in this breathing space? And I'd hate to put money on it, but it is a business, to be able to just do that. Cause I think that's the dream for a lot of us. So one thing we're after at Peak Flow is doing what we call our Peak Flow practitioner training, where we require at least 2 prior certifications, whether it's Oxygen Advantage, Buteyko, Pause Breath Work, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But that's a prerequisite. And then we have these conversations around the breath ecosystem. So kind of break down all the walls that you saw, just your method, come with a clean slate, use your knowledge, and then have what we call quarterly masterminds, where even after you graduate from the training and do the retreat, everyone's coming in every quarter. What are the industry issues that you're running into? Where do you live? Are there people near you that you can collaborate with? And then having reoccurring retreats where we all come back and we have these masterminds, because if we want to really make an impact, we can't do it alone. So that's a component that I've been sitting with, and I feel like is a huge differentiator for us. And having, Patrick and other folks support us is huge. So I share that if you do have any breath practitioners, or if you are a breath practitioner and you are struggling, maybe really stepping in 100%, maybe it's for you. And the vision too is to be able to give our breath practitioners to teach peak flow workshops and getting good revenue there, and then even going on site with the Penn State teams and giving you the clients rather than you going out and really being able, having to do that and figuring out the how, because that can be difficult. So hopefully more impact, more happiness, more passion is the ingredients that we're after.
Yeah, and you're right, it's so important. I remember when I graduated from a couple of those things, it's like good luck then. And luckily I was really fortunate. I already have the YouTube channel and people contacting me for work, to be a, very privileged to be a breath client, people to come along and be my clients. But still at the same time, it's like, how do you go out and get clients otherwise? And so I've had a bit of a blind spot there. So I think, yeah, that sounds wonderful, Lindsay. So yeah, if people are thinking of becoming a breathwork practitioner already are, yeah, again, let's click on those links and check out Peak Flow. That sounds wonderful. I'm just thinking if we do a quick shout out to our fellow Pulmonauts before we sign off. I really enjoyed connecting with you and that group and James and James's staff and Chuck and everybody. And I feel like we've got a nice little beautiful WhatsApp group there and hopefully some friends for life in that group. It's still quite active a couple of months later. Anything you want to say to the group?
Yeah, such fun times. I just from surfing to hanging out, I mean, I miss everyone so much, and I think it's just a testament to show how quickly you can really, really deepen relationships with people who are strangers just before, the retreat started, and how quickly you can really move with breath with others and internally. So, miss you all.
Yeah, miss you all, guys. Hello. Hope you're all doing well. And yeah, maybe we'll all be back together again doing another breath retreat in a couple of years. Who knows? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? If we got some people in a
Heck
nice
yes.
sunny location. Lindsay, again, everything will be down so people can contact you. Any final words before we sign off?
I would just say follow your goosebumps, do what you're passionate about, no matter if it's breath or not, and that it won't misguide you.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Everybody, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next Breathcast. Cheers, Lindsay.
Cheers. Thank you.
Hello, my friend, and thank you for sticking all the way through to the end of that Breathcast. You're a true hero, a true breath hero. So a couple of bits. So I hope you enjoyed that. Now, whenever I watch a podcast, there's normally so much information. So what I really encourage you to do is grab a pen and paper or get your phone out and just think, what was one or two things from that podcast that I'm going to use right now? Because it's really easy to watch 10, 15 podcasts a week. And then you think, what was that person talking about? So with that one, it was the one thing that stuck with you, maybe breathing slower, certain breathing exercise, something you could go and do, a book that maybe you'd like to go and pick up next. So just make that note, because that is how we make sustained lasting change. And that's the whole point for me here really, is you're investing your time and your attention, and I want you to get something back for that. So there's loads of knowledge, but maybe we just pick one or two things that we can implement, and that can make big radical change to our life. Now, whether you're listening to this or watching this, if you've enjoyed these free podcasts, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes or on Spotify. And if you're just watching these on YouTube, if you could like, subscribe, and share, and leave a comment, because what I'm really trying to do is grow this community, because the more people that watch this and leave reviews, the bigger guests I can get, the more powerful guests, the more people that will give us more information so we can share that with our friends and family and implement it in our own lives. So just taking a few moments to do that would be a great appreciation. We've got some wonderful reviews on iTunes already, so if you could add to that, I would really appreciate it. And then on top of that as well, I spoke during this podcast about my breath course. So I won't go through all that again now. But if you're looking to make change, sustained change in your life, that's what I'm all about here, is stickiness, they all sometimes call it. So remembering stuff, Tony Robbins is big on this, is how do I remember and implement and make changes? And one way to do that is take my breath course. So it's free 30-day money-back guarantee. My heart and soul got poured into this. I've used stuff from The Oxygen Advantage and Potato and all my 50-plus podcasts to go, what is the key stuff that somebody newish to breathwork needs to know to make radical changes in their life? And that's in that course. So link is down below. There's a little discount code for you there as well because you've come through Take a Deep Breath and the Breathcast. So check that out. And we're on Instagram. We're almost at 3,000 people. I'm going to be doing some morning breath work on there. So if you are interested in free live breathing with me and we can interact, then hop on over to Instagram, takeadeepbreath.co.uk. Okay, and finally, have you got your free cheat breathing sheet yet? I put together 7 essential breathing exercises for a happier, healthier life. That's completely free. Just go down there, click that link. That'll be sent to you in your inbox straight away. It's all little links on there, so you can go to the breathing exercises. And it tells you the what, the why, and the how, because often we look at a breathing exercise and think, well, that's very good, but what's the point? So I've detailed it really clearly for you as to this breathing exercise does this, that breathing exercise does that, and you just know basically what to do when. So if you're trying to get to sleep or get more energy, all those wonderful things. Thank you for sticking all the way through to the end. Now, what do you do next? Giving you loads of stuff there. Well, maybe we need to breathe. So why don't you click on this link here? It's a beautiful breathing exercise. Relax us, calm us down. And you might be in the mood for another breath cast because you're just hungry caterpillar for more breath information. So check this out here. And I will see you on one of these 2 videos next. Thank you so much. Cheers.